Shabbat Shalom. I'm so glad to see you, y'all here today. Yeah, I won't be correct in my language. This is so exciting time to be in the midst of hurricane time. I mean, in Jacksonville, Florida, it's so cool. Yeah, but I'm so glad to be with such good company here. You're the best company to be with. Yeah. So let's go to the scriptures and let's cover a few interesting ideas from today's Torah portion. I want to bring very basic things, but so important for all of us. I believe it's so important. I will not say anything new, but I will remind you many things, I believe, from the scriptures. So today's Torah portion, Re'eh, or behold, Deuteronomy chapter 11 from the verse 26 to chapter 16 until the verse 17. And as Brian said, thank you for reading and shame on you if you don't read it. No shame, but I'm joking. I can't hold myself. It's going, it's coming. So, in this chapter of the Torah, we learn of several principles we should follow if we would experience the Lord's blessings on our life. So, and I want to talk about two interesting principles here. The first one, where the Lord is calling us, this is the first. And the second, what are the conditions of our hearts when we are coming into His presence? So where we should go, supposed to go, and what is the condition of our heart before the Lord. And for the sake of time, I will read some verses from chapter 12, Deuteronomy chapter 12. But at home, please carefully read and reflect on this chapter, because this is important to be in unity, in one mindset. So I will start from the verse 1, chapter 12. These are the statutes and ordinances that you are to make sure do in the land that Adonai, the God of your fathers, has given you to possess all the days that you live on the earth. So, very interesting thing here. First thought. Adonai, your God, already has given you to possess. It's already yours. But the second thought. It is yours, but you need to possess it. Interesting thing. I believe it's very important. So, in this place of scripture, this land is already yours, but you need to possess it. And not only possess it, but remain in this land. So, something important in this chapter. So, we're supposed to know. And they're supposed to know how to possess this land and stay in this land. And while we'll read it, I would like to ask you to repeat with me some very important words in this chapter while we'll be reading. So, I won't start from the verse 5, chapter 12 of Deuteronomy. Rather, you are to seek only the place, let's say together, place Adonai your God chooses from all your tribes to put His name to dwell. There, let's say together, there. There you will come. There, let's say there. There you are to bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes, the offerings of your hand, and on and on. So the verse 7, again, there. There you are to, and your household will eat before Adonai your God and rejoice. Let's say together, rejoice. In every undertaking of your hand, as Adonai your God has blessed you. Then the place, again, place Adonai your God chooses to make His name dwell, there you are to bring all that I command you. Verse 12. Then you will rejoice before Adonai your God, you and your sons and daughters, your slaves and maids. Verse 13. Be careful that you do not offer burnt offerings in any place you see. I like this verse. Do not be careful. Do not offer wherever you want to offer. Be careful. Rather, do so only in the place Adonai chooses in one of your tribes. There you are to offer your burnt offerings, and there you are to do all I am commanding you. Verse 18. Rather, you are to eat them before Adonai your God in the place Adonai your God chooses. And you will rejoice before Adonai your God in every undertaking of your hand. And verse 26, the last part. To take and to go to the place that Adonai chooses. Can you see here? There. Adonai will choose the place for you. Rejoice there. Be careful, do not bring sacrifice in other places, but only this place. It's so important here. So, I found an interesting why the Lord used the same words again and again. Place Adonai chooses. There. And also rejoice before Adonai. Again and again, repeatedly, in the same chapter. Why? The first why. Of course, it's many reasons why, but I want to mention two reasons here. The first reason. I believe it is a critically important part of his Torah. I mean, before he gave anything, he said to tell them, be careful, you are to possess the land and remain in this land. And the second thing he is telling them, go only into the place I will choose for you, not other place. And third, rejoice there. Can you see this progression? Possess the land, go to the place, and rejoice there, bringing the sacrifice. So I believe this is a very important part of the Torah. So the Lord wants to tell us something, to point something. And the second reason why it's important, because I believe that everyone in Israel can understand that this is something very, very important. You know, sometimes we are too smart and we can miss something very important from the Lord because we try to explain it from different side. But here, again and again, be careful, only that place. Go only there. If you don't understand from the first time, I repeat to you, go only there. Eat only there. You don't understand? Only there. 5 times or 6 times in the same chapter, the Lord repeatedly, he wants to put our attention there, keep our attention. So, two ideas go together. Seek only the place Adonai your God chooses, and the second idea, rejoice before Adonai. So, to clarify, who chooses this place? People? Moses? Joshua? Navin? No, the Lord. And the second, very important thing, with what heart to come in the presence of the Lord? With joyful heart. Joyful heart. So the Lord himself chose a place of meeting. The Lord himself sanctified this place. It was not the choice of mankind. The Lord chose it. The Lord sanctified this place. And the Lord himself was present in this place. His presence was there. It's very important. So, the question, why am I talking so much about this? I want us to see the importance of the house of God in the life of and faith of the Israelites. It was a cultural and religious center. And we all know that it was the temple in Jerusalem. The Lord chose Jerusalem, the temple there, to be the holy place for Israel and for all nations of the world. All nations of the world. So the Lord put the temple in the heart of Israel. The whole life of the people was built around the temple and its ministry. Everything. If you read scripture, whole life, all whole Israel was built around the temple. Even today, our hearts tremble when we hear about the temple. Even today. And who was on the Jewish wedding? Who had this opportunity to be on the Jewish wedding? Do you remember Jewish wedding? Do you remember one of the greatest custom there? During the chuppah, the wedding ceremony. The wedding ceremony in Jewish life is the one of the joyful ceremonies of all. The commandment is to bring joy to the wedding. It's everything about joy. Not so much about bride and bridegroom, but about joy. I'm joking. About joy, bride and bridegroom together. But during that time, during the joyful time of the chuppah, the bridegroom breaks an empty glass in memory of the destruction of the temple. Can you imagine how important temple was for life of Jewish people? So what was so special about the temple? So, and we can find many very important things, and I don't want to go deeply because a lot of books written about temple and beautiful books about temple. But I would like to pick one, the most important idea of the temple. Only in the temple would the Lord accept a sacrifice. Only in the temple, no other place. Only in the temple it was possible to receive forgiveness and to perform a Yom Kippur service. It was only one place in the earth where the Lord accepted people during the Yom Kippur. Only in the temple could the priest bring the blood of atonement before the face of the Lord and pray for all mankind. It was possible only in the temple. Nowhere else in the world. And it is very important to understand that the sacrifice was necessary not only for the righteous person, but the most important, it was the place for a sin offering. For a sin offering. It was the place where people were able to be reconciled with each other and with the Lord. Temple in Jerusalem was the mercy seat, the place of mercy towards people. Before everything, before cultural thing, before everything, it was the place of mercy. And the Lord, He was there and He waited people to come to Him, to repent, to bring their life to Him. Very important. That is why the Lord gathered all of Israel at the temple three times a year. It was commanded. Three times a year. Shalosh Regalim, three major holidays, to come to Jerusalem, to come to the temple with the sacrifice. So that everyone would be united as a nation and have the opportunity to be reconciled with God and be cleansed and holy for Him. This was the moment. This was the place. So this was the time. So let me clarify something very important. An Israelite could not say, I will serve the Lord at home by myself. It was not an option. It was not an option. It was not enough to have faith by themselves. He had to include the temple as an important part of his worship and faith. With no temple, there were no faith, no following the Lord. It was so important to remember. So, what is the situation today for all of us? There is no longer a temple, for it has been destroyed. Because there is no temple, there is no sacrifice. Because there is no sacrifice, there is no forgiveness of sin, and there is no hope of salvation. Is that correct? No, I'm glad to be in Messianic congregation. Because this is a very important question for every Jew in this world. Every Jew. So important question. If you're Jew, if you're keeping tradition, keep traditions, but if you don't have sacrifice, it doesn't matter. Because God does not abandon us, his people, in this hopeless state. We know that today we are redeemed by the great sacrifice of the Messiah, who redeemed us once and forever. He is our atonement. He is our redeemer. He is the great sacrifice for us all. And I like John chapter 2, Yohanan chapter 2, from the verse 19. It's one of the beautiful places of Scripture. Destroy this temple, Yeshua answered them, and in 3 days I will raise it up. To the Judean leaders then said to him, 46 years this temple was being built, and you will raise it up in 3 days? But he was talking about the temple of his body. So after he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he was talking about this. Then they believed the scripture. I liked it. Then they believed in scripture. Not before, but then. And the word that Yeshua had spoken. So the temple was the prophetic picture of the great sacrifice on Golgotha. Yeshua came to fulfill the purpose of the temple, the heart of the temple, the sacrificial part of the temple. Can you see it here? Temple was the picture of coming Messiah. Every sacrifice in temple was the prophetic picture of Messiah who had to come. And he came, and there is no temple anymore, because he is fulfillment of the temple. The heart of the scriptures in these words of Yeshua, and I like to read it. I would like to read it from John chapter 12 and Yohanan John chapter 3, two places of scripture. From the verse 46, Yohanan chapter 12, from the verse 46, John 12:46. As light, I have come into the world, so that everyone who trusts in me should not remain in darkness. And last part of the verse 47. For I came to save the world, not to judge the world. Let's say it together. I came to save the world, not to judge the world. There is no judgment in Yeshua. There is no judgment in Messiah. There is mercy. Because Yeshua is our mercy seat for today, for us. And the second place is the John chapter 3, verse 17. John 3, 17. So God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world. You know, it is enough condemnation in this world. Do you know? So much condemnation here. It's enough condemnation. It's mercy. The Lord does not send his Son to condemn. You know, I know some of the messages of some of believers, you know, you will go to hell. Thank you. I know. If you don't do that, you're go to hell. Or, you know, some of the messages toward the Jewish people, you're kill our Christ. Come on. Too much. It's not we are. I was not there. It was 2,000 years ago. I'm innocent. I'm not guilty. But you know, so much condemnation. But Yeshua said here, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The way of salvation. The way of mercy. The way of forgiveness. The special place where the Lord accepted everyone who is coming to him. Is Yeshua. So what I want to say here. So temple was a place of mercy for all people of the world. Today Yeshua is the place of mercy. There was no condemnation in 2,000 years ago when the temple was in Jerusalem. There was no condemnation. There was forgiveness. You bring the sacrifice and you are forgiven. This was the origin idea of the temple, to bring forgiveness and reconciliation in this world. Today is Yeshua. He is not condemning us. He gives us freedom. Freedom. Love and mercy from God are in these words. I came to save the world, not to judge the world. So we always need to remember it. We are not abandoned by the Lord. We are His beloved children. And He is always ready to save and rescue us in Yeshua. We need to remember no other way to the Lord, only through Yeshua. So, where is the place for us today? We know that Yeshua is our salvation. He is our sacrifice. Where is the place for us today? And I like this moment because it's so important to remember. We live in America, and I'm also living in Florida and America. I came from Ukraine some years ago. But seems to be like everybody likes to be believer by himself somewhere else, you know. I'm a believer, don't touch me. I'm watching the TV. I'm for this preacher. I like this preacher. I want to go to this internet church or to do this internet. But where's the place for me to be? Do you remember how many times the Lord continuously, repeatedly speaks to our hearts to go only into the place where the Lord chose for you? Go there. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. I like this. It's so good. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Messiah Yeshua. So we are living stones. Congratulations. With not only sheep, but we're also living stones. It's so cool, so good. And together we build special place, special house for the Lord to dwell with us, to accept our sacrifice. And this is important part because sometimes people are just, okay, I'm the stone, it's enough for me. But we are being built up as a spiritual house. Why? To offer up special spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. So without house of the Lord is no special sacrifices acceptable to God. So, one more time, I have a question. When we use the word are, do we think about plural or singular? Are. Are. A-R-E. Yeah, so it's here. You also, as living stones, are being built. So are, it means plural or singular? Yeah. Do we say I are? No. If you will hear from me I are, it's because English is my third language. So be in peace. It's not because I'm trying to change the scriptures. So this is the main idea today here. The main idea of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, is that we are together at the temple for the Lord. And no way out. The same as during the ancient time, every Israelite should include temple in their life. With no temple, no spiritual life. Today the same. Different temple, but the same idea. Without temple of the Lord is no spiritual life. Of course, sometimes when people are in prison or something, of course, even though the Lord sending us to the prison, to the prisoners. Why? Because he want to build temple there. No longer does the Lord live inside walls made of stones. He lives in the temple made of hearts. Together we build his temple. We are his temple. The fact that we are gathering together and worshiping God, serving him, glorifying his name, making a sacrifice of our praise in this place is very, very important for every one of us, because it is a huge, important part of our spiritual walk with the Lord. Without house of the Lord, it's very hard, very difficult, I would say impossible to remain in faith, to possess the land, but not only possess the land, you know, I possess and I go, to possess the land and stay there and remain in this land, stay in faith. Another place of scripture I would like to mention, because I like this place, it's one of my favorite. John chapter 10, verse 14. John 10, 14. Actually, I have lots of my favorite place. Everything is favorite, but this is very important. It's the word of Yeshua. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not from this fold. Those also I must lead. They will listen to my voice. So there shall be one flock, one shepherd. Let's say together a word, flock. Gathering, congregation. I found something from the scriptures and from actually from observation. You can watch in YouTube or somewhere. Where there are the sheep of the Lord, there is always a flock. Lambs are always together. Always they're going together. They like each other. I don't know. Yeshua even told us that if there is one who wanders away, the Lord goes looking for him to bring him back into the flock. So it's so important to remember. So the Lord assembles his flock, congregations of his sheep, for his sheep, so that we might all come to serve him together. So, and I believe it's so beautiful picture here, according to this place. We are together here. Jews and Gentiles in one place, in unity, worshiping the Lord, according to his prophetic words to us. It is a beautiful picture. And this is the privilege to be part of Messianic community. It's my view of the scriptures. Because this is the time of the last resurrection, the last revelation, the last revival. Revival when all the nations will know Yeshua. So, also I would like to, also one thing I would like to share with you. I feel so badly for those of God's creation who live in this world without support of others. Yeah. Without prayer, without a flock to call their spiritual home. I believe it's a very difficult life, spiritually difficult. I mean, it seems to be freedom, you know, I'm free, I can do what I want. But this is not good freedom. This is bad freedom. Freedom has always two parts of it. So the second thing I would like to share with you, and I have only 45 minutes to share, so let's go quickly. It's in the word, verse 12, in the same chapter 12, Deuteronomy. Then you will rejoice before Adonai your God. So let's say together, rejoice. So first part we covered, the place where the Lord is waiting for us, in his flock. And the second, how to come, with what heart to come with him. Joyful, rejoice. And, you know, I found something. For some of people, it seems that sacrifice and joy are so separate ideas. Because sometimes when we think about sacrifice, it means like, oh, come on, sacrifice. Let's go, sacrifice. But it's not true. This is not a scriptural idea. Sacrifice and joy are going together in the scriptures. If our hearts are not joyful, it's something wrong, but not with the scriptures, with our hearts. Something needs to be fixed there. So I would like to read from, and this is a very difficult place of scripture. I don't want to stop here, but think about it at home. The Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 47. Deuteronomy 28 from the verse 47. But please meditate on this, on these words at home. So, the Lord's commandment. Instead of serving Adonai your God with joy and goodness of heart, so you see the one part, instead of serving Adonai with your God with joy and goodness of heart, out of abundance of everything. And for me, it looks like America today. Really blessed the country with everything, every good things here. And verse 48, you will serve your enemies whom Adonai will send against you in hunger and thirst, in nakedness and lacking everything. And he will put an iron yoke on your neck until he has destroyed you. Hard words, difficult words. These words towards Jewish people in Deuteronomy. But we need to remember something. It turns out that serving the Lord without joy and goodness is a serious problem. And actually is a serious sin against the Lord. Which means that it's extremely important to keep right attitude of our hearts. To keep our hearts joyful and free and in gratitude to the Lord. Our hearts should be grateful to the Lord for everything. Let's say together, grateful. Grateful. Yeah. So I would like to read one place of scripture. This is Psalm 100. And I want really end with the interesting idea here. So Psalm 100, it's called Psalm of Thanksgiving. And do you know, life of David was not the life of lazy boy, you know. He was in so many difficult situations. Can you imagine? He was hiding from the king, King Saul. I mean, it's not small thing. What do you think? I mean, we have problems, of course. We are going through difficulties, but he had lots of problems. He hid from his king. He hid from his son. He went through so many difficult situations in his life. But let's read Psalm 100. And I believe this psalm came out of his heart, of his experience. This was his life. A psalm of thanksgiving. Shout joyfully to Adonai, all the earth. Serve Adonai with gladness. Come before his presence with joyful singing. Know that Adonai is God. It is he who has made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Praise him. Bless his name. For Adonai is good. His loving kindness endures forever. And his faithfulness to all generations. Pure, strong, important. Obvious for every one of us. In Hebrew, korban simcha, it means a sacrifice of joy. Sacrifice of joy, korban simcha. Bringing joyful sacrifice before the Lord. We know this song, Ivdot Hashem besimcha. This is Psalm 100. Ivdot Hashem besimcha. Serve the Lord with joy. Or in other translation, serve the Lord in joy. Let's say together, in joy. Not only with joy, it's different. With joy, you have a little bit here, maybe here, joy, you know. You have something with you. But serve Adonai with joy, completely with joy. And the next translation, interpretation, serve the Lord through joy. Through joy. And I like this much more because it's very important for me. Because when something is hard for you and doesn't work out according to the plan, do we have anyone who always good with your plans? I mean, always. Everything is perfect. You planned in 50 years and more than you planned. So if something doesn't work, this is not an end of everything. That is the time to find strength in the Lord and practice the great commandment to rejoice before the Lord despite of difficulties. To bring sacrifice of joy. Let's say together, sacrifice of joy. Can you imagine the Lord look at your joy as a sacrifice to Him? In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 9, do not grieve, for the joy of Adonai is your strength. Very interesting. Do not grieve. This joy is so unique, so phenomenal, because it is found only in God. He is the source of our joy. This divine joy is not caused by any worldly influence. On the contrary, when we must endure the trials of this world, it is this divine joy that helps us to endure. Amen. Only. So, and I want to end with the place of Scripture and just pray for us all, because it's so important here. It's Habakkuk. Oh, I don't think he would recognize his name. Something wrong here with the English name, I think. But let's read him, so you know about whom I talk to here. So, Habakkuk 3:17. From the 17, this is prophetic picture, and please remember it. This is about sacrifice of joy, Karban Simcha. Though the fig tree does not blossom, and there is no yield on the vines, though the olive crop fail, and the fields produce no food, the flock is cut off from the fold, and there is no cattle in the stalls, yet I will triumph in Adonai. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. You see, this is not faith because the Lord gave everything to me. This is not faith and joy that because I have everything today. This is faith and joy despite. And this is faith, true faith. And this is joy. This is true joy in the Lord Messiah Yeshua. So let's end and let's conclude with the prayer. And I would like to invite everyone who is here or maybe listening to podcast. If you never have opportunity to be part of the God's revival of the Jewish people and never receive the Lord Yeshua as your personal Lord and Savior of your life, and if you never experienced the joy of Adonai, this is the moment for you. Open your heart, receive His mercy, and be part of His flock, His congregation. Find place for you. So let's pray. Avinu Shebashamayim, our Heavenly Father, thank You for this opportunity to be in this place, to be in the house of the Lord. Thank You for joy of Your salvation, Lord. Thank You for Yeshua the Messiah. Lord, I come to You as a sinner and ask, please forgive my sins, Lord. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Help me to follow You, Lord. And I receive Yeshua as my Lord and Savior, as a great sacrifice for all my sins. Thank You, Lord, for Your forgiveness. Thank You for Your mercy. And thank You for Your joy. In the name of Yeshua, I pray. Amen. Amen. Shabbat Shalom. let's stand together and let's close with the Aaronic benediction, with the pray.
Yevarech Adonai veishmerecha Yahel Adonai panavalecha vichunecha Yisa Adonai panavalecha se shalom.
Amen.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen.
Shabbat shalom. Shabbat.